Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. And the article in the newsletter this week is about the importance of motivating our employees, how important it is, and that it's fact, and the fact that it's just good business to motivate our employees. And if you subscribe this week, you'll be able to get a copy of that article. Lynn Borella is our guest. Lynn is the one of the partners in a company called Spring Ridge Financial Group. He's had a distinguished military career. He served this nation for many years. He's an outstanding professional and excellent resource in our brain trust. He's the author of a book called In Search of Ethics, Conversations with Men and Women of Character. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Jim, good to be back with you.
It's good to have you back on the show, Lynn. You and I have been talking for a while now about ethics and the importance of it. Your book is very timely in the life of the marketplace, I think, and I can think of only maybe, you know, I'm thinking of a few other times in the history of the marketplace, maybe around 150, 200 years ago, maybe 300 years ago. I'm thinking of Tulipomania and the South Sea Bubble and the Mississippi Scheme and some of those things. And then we had the go-go 90s, as they call it, the irrational exuberance. And a lot of people blame, Lynn, the ethical problems that we've had in this nation. A lot of people blame that on the recent years, the last, say, 5 or 8 years. But I actually go back at least 25 to 30 years in my... If you want to find sort of the seedling of some of the problems we've had lately with regard to corporate ethics, I go back all the way into the 70s.
Some would even take it back to the 60s, Jim. The whole protest against the Vietnamese War, the beatnik movement, the thoughts about free speech and free love and free everything. And there's a whole notion at that time of what I call moral relativism. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden people said, look, I'm going to decide what's right for me and what's right for my kids. I don't need any absolute barometer. And I think the absence of absolutes, when people start deciding for themselves and making a decision in every situation what's right and what's wrong, you get wavering from any norm. Mm-hmm. People start rationalizing because we all try to do what's easier rather than what's right sometimes.
Well, you're coming at it from the society standpoint. My thinking was from the marketplace, and the reason that I used my example was because in the 70s, when we had a couple of pretty bad recessions there, 69 in the mid-70s, things got pretty rough, and companies couldn't make a profit. It was hard to make a living. We had the misery index of inflation and prime rate were ridiculous. We had Jimmy Carter as the president, which is about as bad as it got, and we had a lot of problems. And so what happened was companies were gutting their brain trust. They were letting people retire or firing people, basically downsizing, and they were getting rid of their memories. They were getting rid of their ethical taproots many times. And so I think a lot of people, unfortunately, came of age in the 80s and the 90s without a lot of very valuable mentors that previous generations had grown up with. I don't know. What do you think
about
that?
It's very interesting to note that in 1973, 1974, we had a very serious, long, 20-21-month recession.
Yeah. Followed by four or five years of what Jimmy Carter called malaise.
And I think maybe it did take root then, but you saw it during the excess years, during the late 90s, 98, 99, when the market was at peaks, and the bubble burst, what happened is there was so much money being made, so much profit, everybody wanted a piece of it. And that's
but it was monopoly money in reality. We now know that it was monopoly money, wasn't it?
Exactly. But people seeing all that money, everybody wanted a little bit more, and people started bending the rules and offering options for every little thing. And what happened is all of a sudden, wow, the bubble burst, and people were standing out there without any clothes on.
When we come back, we're going to take a break in just a second, Lynn. And when we come back, I want you to tell us if we've cleaned up that mess yet, or if there's still some cleaning up to do, and how you feel about the next few years with regard to ethics in the marketplace.
Good question.
That's coming up right after these messages, folks. It's 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Lynn Morella, the author of In Search of Ethics. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Joyce Weiss is going to join us. And Joyce is the author of Take the Ride of Your Life, and she's going to help us gain and maintain some balance in our lives and make sure that we're focused the right way. And then after Joyce, we're going to be visiting with an old friend of ours, SBA Administrator Hector Barreto. And he's been with us a number of times before, and I'm looking forward to getting him on the show today to talk to us about the 50th anniversary of the SBA, which is coming up in September, and during which I will be in Washington, D.C., broadcasting 5 days, Monday through Friday that week, the week of the 15th of September, in Washington, D.C., two of which I'll be with the SBA. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. This will be my sixth year to do that, and I'm sure it'll be fun. Anyway, the administrator will be with us in the next hour. Lynn Morella is with us, folks, and he's the author of In Search of Ethics, and we're talking about that very topic. Lynn, I posed this question just before we went to the break, and the question is, the issue is, we've just come through a period of mania that is on par with, if not exceeding, some of the other manias that we've experienced in the marketplace over the last 200 or 300 years, and now we're paying for that mania. We're actually paying for it in real dollars. We're paying for it in a lot of different ways. But one of the things that's happening is we're focusing on the ethical breaches, the ethical dilemmas that we've got in the marketplace right now. And I'd like to get your assessment of how far we've come and how far we have yet to go.
Well, I think that, you know, I've always defined ethics as obedience to the unenforceable.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really can't force people to be ethical.
Say that again.
A good definition of ethics is obedience to the unenforceable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whereas the law, the legal aspect of it, mm-hmm. is obedience to the enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you have people who will not do the right thing, then legislation or regulations slip in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happened in the marketplace with the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, which forces executives to senior executives, CEOs and CFOs to sign up on their financial statements saying
right.
they guarantee their accuracy, they guarantee that to the best of their knowledge that they're accurate.
Well, can we many people say you can't legislate morality. Can we legislate ethics?
No, we can't, but I think what we can do is remind folks. I think a lot of people, a lot of executives, a lot of CEOs have been embarrassed by what's happened, and I think the whole notion of the debate we had brought people up short. And it became aware of the fact that, hey, wait a minute, maybe I just got carried away here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has helped focus people's attention on it, and I think the SEC is being more aggressive, and federal prosecutors are being more aggressive, and all that notion is just reminding folks, you know, whoa, let's hold on here, let's not get carried away. And I think, as I said earlier, the excesses of the late 90s, a very, very, very successful market. You know, the stock market averaged, the S&P averaged about 17.5% per year for the decade of the 90s. And the last several years, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, the upward trend was averaging over 20% a year, and people got carried away with that, and they saw all that money, and greed stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
And when greed steps in, and when people get greedy for power and greedy for money, They do dumb things.
Well, now, one of the things that's been happening recently is that there hasn't been a lot happening with regard to ethics. There's been a lot of discussion, but from time to time, something will pop up into the news about some member of one of these companies that we know about being, you know, brought into court or another step in their prosecution or somebody's indicted that's new. But there really isn't a lot more. There doesn't seem to be a lot more coverage of ethics in the marketplace. Have you noticed that in the last year or so?
Well, that's true, Jim. But what I'm seeing is that
unfortunate.
Well, I think it is. But on the other hand, I think you're seeing at the grassroots a lot of good things happening. I just finished teaching a course. As a matter of fact, as of Saturday, my final session on a course on moral leadership, and 37 students, most of whom are in a master's degree program,
mm-hmm.
and their awareness of ethics was much higher than it had ever been. And the fact that I even had a course on moral leadership, you know, mm-hmm. was promising. In addition to that, I'm seeing that the junior achievement group of kids, you know, the program for kids, their issue of the year is ethics. Character Counts is an organization out of the West Coast doing a lot of things in schools, mm-hmm. now with athletes. The Institute of Global Ethics in Camden, Maine is doing a lot of teaching throughout the country, a lot of work on building decision skills, building ethical decision skills. And Michael Josephson and his Institute of Ethics out of California do a lot of work, and I see it taking seed in a lot of places, a lot of schools.
Isn't that where it really needs to begin? I mean,
needs to begin at home, and that's
right.
The problem. Because
as our young people are in their formative years, I mean, if we wait till they're 25, I think it's too late, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's the notion that business schools will suggest. They'll say, why do I have to spend a lot of time teaching ethics? It's, you know, our students are in their late 20s and early 30s. It's too late. But I'm not mm-hmm. so sure it's too late. I think it's never too late. I think it has to be a multifaceted attack.
Well, it's never too late, but it's also never too early, is it?
That's correct. And the real problem is the places it should happen is at home with the family, and that's what the basic problem is, in my view. The fact that we have, you know, half of marriages ending in divorce, and a third of children being born out of wedlock, and so many single parent families, and so many homes where there are two parents, but both of them are working to achieve and to
right.
make sure they have the material things they need. Therefore, I think they dilute their attention to their kids.
Hold on to that thought, Len. Folks, when we come back, in a world according to Len Morella, we're going to find out how things ought to be. Well, right after these messages, we're going to get him to tell us what we ought to be doing in the future. Tintel, stay with us. Len Morella is our guest. In Search of Ethics is the...
County fair in the country.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and Len Morella is our guest. In Search of Ethics is his book. Len, give us your website and tell us where the book's available.
Well, the book can be acquired on the website is, let me have it here. Well, let me first of all give you a toll-free number. You can call 866-602-1476. That's 866-602-1476.
It's probably at Amazon, too, isn't it?
It is, and it's also at, you know, at Borders and Barnes
right.
and Noble. It's in their system. You have to have them ordered for you, but it's in their system. And you can go on the website, focusedonethics.com.
Focusedonethics.com. And, folks, the last name is spelled with two R's and two L's, Len Morella, two R's and two L's. So check that out when you get a chance. And it's a book that you definitely want to check out. As you know, I don't allow authors on the show if I haven't already feel like that their book is worthy of your time and your money, and Len's book certainly is. It's an important book for our time as well. Len, in the 21st century, what should we do? What should we do as members of the marketplace, as members of society? What should we be doing to grow ethical human beings?
Let me say something first, Jim, before I answer that question. Okay. That is something that Dr. Rush Kidder, who's the president of the Institute of Global Ethics, said a couple of years ago, that we will not survive the 21st century with the ethics of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, because there's so much leverage, so few people can do so much damage to us now,
mm-hmm.
that you can't afford not to be involved in an ethical world.
Evil is easier to leverage than good, isn't it?
That's right. Well, yeah. But good is easy to leverage, too. But the point is, because of technology, there is leverage.
Mm-hmm.
How much damage could you do 100 years ago with a rifle or a machine
exactly.
gun?
Exactly. No, that's exactly
now
right.
Now with a hijacked aircraft or a nuclear weapon, you can do a lot of damage. One unethical person can do a lot of damage.
That's right.
But so, I think we need a multifaceted approach, Jim. We need to attack it from all directions. One, I think government at all levels should publish and practice ethical principles. Let's set the standards right in our government. Parents must accept full responsibility for the behavior of their children and the ethical and moral development of their children.
Mm-hmm.
Our schools, our teachers, our administrators, our coaches and counselors, they play an important role, and we shouldn't be concerned about imposing values on children. We should lay those values out for kids.
What makes a parent tell a teacher not to discipline their child? I know the young people hate to hear these kinds of stories, but my dad used to take me to school and say to the teacher, "Here's my son. If you can't make him behave, let me know, and I'll take care of it." And that was how I was introduced to my teachers. You know, because I was a pretty busy young man.
I understand.
But the thing is that let me know that, you know, that I wasn't going to get away with a whole lot.
Well, my wife's a teacher, and she saw the changes over the years. You know, when 40, 50 years ago, when a teacher sent a note home to a parent that a child misbehaved, you didn't see that child for a couple of days.
That's right.
And when he surfaced, he had religion. And now he sent a note home, and the first person that gets attacked is the teacher and the principal, and the threat of litigation, and my child couldn't do that. My child can't be wrong, and you know that's unfortunate because you know everybody makes mistakes, and you need to correct them at the early stages.
Right. Well, how do we fix that?
Well, I think here's what's happening in schools right now. A lot of schools are beginning to realize that they have a role here, and the big problem in schools for a long time was that parents and teachers and parents and administrators primarily were concerned that. They started to teach values in school. They were concerned about the separation of church and state. They're also afraid that people were going to impose values on their kids. And they thought they were going to. And the question then was, whose values you're going to impose?
Mm-hmm.
But when you stop the surface values, you look anywhere in the world, and you start asking people what their values are, or you do some brainstorming, when you find out that the values are the same. Mm-hmm. People all say they believe in truth. They all say they believe in respect. They all say they believe in responsibility. They all say they believe in fairness or justice. They all say they believe in compassion or love. And yet there's a major disconnect between what they profess to believe and what they do. But getting back to the values that are shared values in the Western world, who's going to argue with the notion, who's going to say, well, I don't want my child to be honest or truthful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my child to be responsible. I don't want my child to be respectful. I don't want my child to be fair or compassionate. You know that's a canard, that the business about whose values you're going to impose.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think people are beginning to realize that, and you see a lot of things happening in schools right now. There's a lot of effort.
Len, we're going to have to wrap it up, but we got more to talk about, and I'd like for you to come back another time, if you will, real soon. We'll continue this conversation.
Jim, all you have to do is ask. It's my pleasure to talk with you and with your audience, and I'm delighted to do so.
Thank you, Len Morella, ladies and gentlemen. In Search of Ethics is the book. Wherever books are sold, check it out. I think you'll appreciate it. Sure. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.